A former family court judge has called for a complete overhaul of Australia's adoption processes. Today marks 5 years since former Prime Minister Julia Gillard delivered a formal apology to people affected by forced adoption or removal policies and practices. Professor Naim Mushin is a former judge of the family court and chaired the Forced Adoptions Apology Reference Group. Welcome to RN Drive.
Thank you.
To start with, who are we talking about when we talk about people affected by forced adoption?
Well, we're talking about probably hundreds of thousands of people right through the country. These are mothers who were young women, teenagers, underage at the time that they gave birth. We're talking about their parents. We're talking about the children who were adopted out. And we're talking about wider families.
And you're calling now for compensation for people who have been adversely affected.
Yes.
What do you want to see here?
Well, the first thing I want to see is I want to see what these people have been through really recognised in the community. I also want them to be treated consistently. So that, for example, there's compensation issues now which have arisen with regard to young people sent out from Britain several decades ago. There's the stolen generation. There's the people affected by sexual abuse from the Sexual Abuse Commission. And there are all sorts of people like that, and forced adoption has never received the prominence which the rest of those issues has received.
I think that is accurate, but I wonder, why do you think that's the case? Why has this issue, which is, you know, quite alarming, as you say, these young women gave birth and had their children taken from them and forced into adoption, why hasn't it resonated with the community like some of the other issues?
Well, I find that difficult to answer too, I must say, because it really is a really big issue. One of the issues was that on the day of the apology, there was a challenge to Prime Minister Gillard within the Labor Party. That took all the oxygen out of the apology itself. But for some reason or other, there's not been the awareness of this issue observed as it has been with regard to the others. And it's amazing to me as I talk to people about it, how few people really know about what really happened.
So you want to put this back on the national agenda and give it kind of momentum, I suppose, give it the sort of focus that it deserves. You want an annual commemoration like a National Forced Adoption Day. What would that look like and why would that be important?
It's an awareness-raising thing. That's the first thing. The second thing is that it validates the experiences that people affected by forced adoption have had. And I think that's really important because they are so often re-victimised by all sorts of triggers that occur. And it would be a commemoration just in the same way as we commemorate plenty of other events in the community.
What's wrong with the current adoption system in Australia? What do you think needs changing?
Well, I'm swimming against the current here, I realise. But I think that there are elements about current adoption practices which are too much like possession of the child rather than best interests of the child. The first thing I'd like to see is we have fragmented laws. We have 6 laws on adoption. A child who is adopted in Wodonga, a child is adopted in Albury, are adopted pursuant to 2 different laws. That's ridiculous in a country like this. That's the first thing. The second thing is I can't see why the various best interests provisions as they apply in the Family Law Act can't be extended to this sort of situation.
So to be clear and kind of to boil it down, if we can, do you think it should be easier to adopt children within Australia?
No.
So you want to make it harder to adopt within Australia. Many people would say it's already pretty hard. There are low numbers of adoptions that already occur.
Yes, and most of those adoptions are step-parent adoptions, so that there are very few adoptions other than step-parent adoptions these days. But one of the disturbing things is that, for example, children who have been in care and are then put in out-of-home care are considered for adoption. I don't think they need to be, because one of the things that we know is that they need to have their identity. They need to know where it is they come from. If there's one thing when you talk to an adopted person, they want to know what their origins, what their roots are. And adoption is not as good as at providing that as our ordinary orders with regard to the best interests of a child.
In your ideal Australia, you don't want to see adoption at all, is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Why?
For the reasons that I've said. I think our best interest provisions will more than cope with the issues. You'll need to make some amendments to the law with regard to succession for people who have been placed in what is now adoption. But that's easy enough done. It really takes political will.
But look, let me put this scenario to you. And I actually know children in this situation, children who have been in foster care for years and eventually find a family who fosters them for years and seeks then, as you said, this is the category where it still happens, to adopt the child, to give that child a permanent home, which we all know is so crucial. You know that as a former family court judge, that continuity, that stability is what makes that child's life prosperous and possible. Why wouldn't you want to seek that for those families?
Of course you'd want to seek that for those families, but why does
that
it need
to
be...
That can only happen through adoption or it
why?
Becomes a foster care arrangement.
Well, why?
It provides a permanent legal security arrangement, doesn't it?
Well, first of all, as far as talking about the best interest of a child is concerned, you shouldn't talk in terms of permanence. You should talk in terms of long-term rather than permanence, because as a child develops and grows up, his or her needs change really quite significantly, and you've got to be able to adapt to those changed circumstances so that the five-year-old child might find difficulty in not having any contact at all with, for example, the parents, the original parents, whereas a 15-year-old child might want to make his or her own arrangements. You need to leave it open for that to be able to happen. And adoption can be too closed, albeit that we have what we call open adoption.
But isn't the adoption you're concerned about, that historic adoption, which, let's be honest, it was forced adoption. This is an entirely different issue. That was a forced arrangement. These women were not consenting. These children were not in abusive situations. They were taken for all the wrong reasons by the state. The children that are in this foster care that ultimately these families seek to adopt them, they're often high-risk kids. They're in high-risk situations in families that are not providing them the kind of care that they deserve.
Oh, I certainly agree with that. And there's no question that you need to give them a caring basis. And there's no question that some of their original parents are unable to look after them, whether it be for drugs or alcohol or mental incapacity or any one of a number of things. However, the basis on which you're doing it is what I'm questioning. I'm not questioning whether you should do it at all. I'm simply questioning the basis on which you should do it. And in my view, the adoption, albeit we now call it open adoption, is not open enough to give all the whole range of powers that you need in order to answer each individual child's needs.
It's a fascinating conversation. Thank you so much for your time.
Bye-bye.
That's Professor Naim Mushin. He's a former judge of the Family Court and the chair of the Forced Adoptions Apology Reference Group. He's now an adjunct professor of law at the University of Monash.